Now, of course, Sandberg now, to me, I think Sandberg is probably the best ball player in baseball. I've been asked, how can they pay Sandberg $30 million? Well, how the hell can they pay Bonilla and those other guys? Well, Sandberg is just never bitches, never goes out, plays his game every day.
Plays it beautifully.
Oh, yeah. I say so. To me, I think he's the best ball player today in baseball. But in my time, I would have to take Hornsby and Billy Herman, second base. I'd have to take Archie Vaughn and Stonewall Jackson when he was with the Giants. Power hitters and good players. And no question about Pye Trainer. You have to have him. Okay. And your outfield, God, there's a damn many of them. You can't leave Stan Musial out. No way. And in center field, in my time, Terry Moore was the greatest fellow to go get the ball. Right. Then you had Joe Medwick in left field.
So the Cardinals had a great
outfield. And you had
Mellott
in right field. And catching. I don't know who the hell I'd pick for Gabby Hartnett for sure. For one of them.
Was Lombardi a good
catcher? Lombardi was a terrific catcher. Okay. Yeah, terrific catcher.
I knew he was a great hitter, but he was a good defensive player.
Yes, sir. He was a good ball player. He could do everything. The poor guy, he got that Alzheimer's disease. That's what he died from, I guess.
So, out in California.
Yeah.
Ended up playing again. Did you have a favorite ballpark?
Well,
you know, a lot of those parks don't exist anymore, unfortunately.
A lot of them used to bitch about polo grounds in New York on account of short right and left field walls, but I never minded pitching in the polo grounds. I used to get a kick out of the Charlie Dressing when he's managing, he'd come out. If I was in a little trouble, he'd come out and he'd say, make him hit straight away. If you can, make him hit center field. I says, hell, if I could do that, Charlie, I'd do it in every park. Right. You can't do all that stuff. It's easy for a manager, you know, to come out and tell you what to do, but it's different when you're out there and try to do it. How the hell are you going to make a hitter hit straight away to center field? Why, I'd be the greatest pitcher ever lived if I could do that. He'd come out there and tell me that. I'd say, Charlie, I'd do it in every park if I could. I said, how the hell are you going to make him hit straight away? Throw down the middle, hard as you can throw, hope that he had pulled it, then they punch it into right field. But I always had fair luck there. I always tried to pitch down and let him hit it to the ground. If you can do that, pretty regular. You're going to have luck wherever. But now, the greatest mistake to me in baseball is the artificial turf.
It's changed the game.
It has changed the game, and it's ruined football players. It's killing football players. Now, this young kid with Detroit, that's a shame.
Yeah.
24 years out, and he's in a wheelchair the rest of his life. Artificial turf. That's like playing on cement. They throw you down those big 300-pounders, grab you and slap you down on that hard, then another two, three come pile on top of you. You never see so many injuries. No, sir. I blame the turf for it. I really do. And I don't think it'll be too long before you'll see the turf go, get out of the way.
Well, that could be. I'm thinking about the University of Florida. That was one of the conditions that the football coach made. He said, yeah, I'll come and coach here, but you'll have to take out the artificial turf and put the real stuff back in.
That is right. I look for it to go. The reason they put it in, it's just so simple, so that the owners wouldn't have to pay
no rain out.
Weekend rain out insurance, which is awful high. It was high in my day. but they carried it because they had to protect themselves. Because in Cincinnati, the only way they'd get a crowd would be on Sunday, or Saturday and a Sunday, and get a fair crowd. So they carried high insurance. But that's the only reason they put turf in. I know a lot of clubs are talking about taking it out, and you see them all take it out.
Well, I hope for that.
I do, too. I really hope so, for especially for football. I can't see those guys playing on that turf.
Right. What was it like going into Ebbets Field, playing the Dodgers?
Oh, that was short right field, but Brooklyn was, the fans were crazy there, I mean, and DeRozier, he was, I played with him and I played against him, the poor guy is gone now, but I never could see that guy. He was a good manager, but he'd sit on the bench and holler, stick one in his ear, knock him down, stick one in his ear, that's all you could hear. And they would dust you off. And he had some hard throwers.
Whit Wyatt said that DeRozier would tell him to do that. And he'd
I know he'd tell him to
find a couple hundred dollars on top of his locker for having done it.
Yeah, he'd tell him. I know he would. Because I heard him so many times.
I guess there aren't too many people with who are neutral on DeRozier. They either thought he was the greatest or had really no use for him.
Let's see, Kenny Keltner died the other day,
A
while back.
Just a couple months ago.
Boy, he and I were on a show one time, and he says, that's one guy I cannot stomach, it's gross. And I said, you're not alone. I said, you're talking to another one that has no love for it. I kind of turned against Rocher. I don't like to talk about anyone that's passed away, but when I was with Cincinnati, DeRozier was with Cincinnati. I played with him and I played against him. And his mother was chambermaid at the apartment where I stayed. Now, a fellow playing Major League Ball, I know if it was me, if I had a penny, my mom would never be in a chambermaid making beds in apartments. Never. I held that against him. I never said anything, but...
Well, he lived a high lifestyle.
I told my wife that, huh?
He lived a high lifestyle himself.
Oh, I guess he did. Sure he did. Yeah, he had a lot of nice women. I've met them all that he was married to. They didn't last long.
No.
He's, I don't know. He just was a different guy. It was not my type, I'll
say
that.
He made his own rules.
Huh?
He made his own rules.
Yeah,
apparently.
That's right. I know he was not well liked by opposing teams. I do know that.
Well, see, Chandler suspended him for a year.
Yeah.
Was that 48, 47?
I don't know.
Something like
but
that.
But you talked to some of the Cubs players today that if they want to tell you the truth, they'd tell you. Probably like Ernie Banks and the Cubs third baseman that played for
Sando.
Sando. I know he'd tell you in a hurry.
Babe Ruth didn't have much use for him either.
Oh, no, no, no. No, none of the Yankees was just Babe. Yeah. None of them. Lou Gehrig didn't either. And Lefty Gomez, those guys. Because when I was with the Cardinals, we trained in St. Pete, so same park that Al Lang Field that the Yankees trained in. One week they'd train in the morning, next week we'd train in the morning. And I was in the clubhouse and taking showers and getting dressed and I got pretty friendly with Lefty Gomez and some of the guys that I knew, Frank Grassetti and Bill Dickey and, you know, players will hang together,
sure.
They'll talk to one another. And you get to find out a lot of stuff like that. A lot of guys that I remember when I was a kid, before I ever got into professional baseball. I thought, oh my God, if I could just, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig were my favorites. Never in my mind did I ever think that I'd ever pitch against them or ever get to shake hands and talk to them.
Was that in spring training that you pitched against them or when?
Spring training.
What about when Ruth was with the Braves?
Exhibition games. See, in those days when we leave spring training, we'd follow one another back to our base, home base. And we'd play all the way home for a little better than a week. Now, they stay down in Florida till the last day, they take a plane. It's all together, it's a different world. We never had air conditioning when I played. No air conditioning in your room. You rode the Rattlers all night, get in just time to play, get out to the park and play. A lot of times, if the train was held up, they had to hold the ball, gave up for us to get out there. That's happened several times. So now...
Well, St. Louis would have been the longest trip.
Right? Well, we went from Chicago to New York, and the train was late, and the game was held up. We got to the Polo Grounds to play. The park was full. We never got batting practice. They took 15 minutes for the pitcher to run out there and warm up, and the game started. I remember that just...
Hard way to do it.
That's right. The hard way to do it.
What were the fans like in Philadelphia? I've heard that those were rough fans. Is that right?
If you go lousy and of course, you can bring a lot of it on yourself, too. But they always treated me good. I never had any problem with the fans in Philly. They figured... If you do the best you can, whether you win or lose, if you're giving them all you got...
And they can usually tell, can't they?
They'll treat you all right. But if you're out there nonchalant, you're not covering first base on a hit, or you don't give a damn, or you can't bunt, or you don't do... Boy, they'll ride you clear out of town, which you got a lot of it you bring on yourself.
What about the press?
I've always got along with the press. Cincinnati and wherever, Boston, wherever I went, I was all very fortunate. I think Cincinnati, my opinion, had three of the greatest sports writers in the world. They were old when I got there, but Jack Grayson and Tom Swope and Jack Snyder, they were my three favorites. No matter how lousy you went, if you were trying, they never gave you a bad write-up. They would, in fact, try to make an alibi for you or something.
Broadcasting started about the time you were with, in Brooklyn, I guess. It started when you were with St. Louis. I think for some of the first games were broadcast.
Yeah, I remember
Cincinnati
when
or Brooklyn,
Harry Carey came up to St. Louis. When he was just a kid, when he came up to St. Louis.
Is it true that some of the owners didn't want to have the games broadcast because they thought it was going to affect the attendance at the ballpark?
Yeah, at first. I never heard it directly from any of the owners, but it was in the paper that they didn't think it would go over. Now, of course, in my time, when I first, the owners had everything, you know. They had everything their way, no matter what. If you wanted to play, you played under their conditions. Now, of course, now it's getting way out of line, though,
of course,
between you and I. I got the best neighbors in the world around here. I got a neighbor right over here that's got three young kids, and they're baseball nuts, they're Cubs and Sox nuts, they're Bears nuts, and they're Bulls crazy. They wear sweatshirts from all of them, you know. And he used to could take him up to the game. He says, I can't do it anymore. He says, it takes over $100 to take the three kids to the game and then stop he and his wife to eat on the way home. And he says, I just can't afford it. They're both working, mother and father both working.
It's a very expensive proposition anyway. That's why a lot of people are really enjoying the minor league team.
Yeah, right. I feel sorry for the kids today, and I've gone out and not too long ago I was over to Sandwich and talked to a bunch of Cub Scouts. There was 160 up in there. 9 out of 10 will ask me how I got started in baseball, and I go tell them that I lived in a different world than what they're growing up in. You know, today, I'd hate to think of trying to raise kids today. I really would, even down here in a small town. How would you like to have a couple of kids growing up in Chicago, and the teachers have to even search them to see if they got carrying guns or knives?
Or in Joliet.
Drugs. No. You got to join a gang, or that these people over here moved out of Aurora because their kids were threatened by gangs. They didn't join gangs. They were going to beat up on them, and the kids wouldn't go to school. They were scared to death. They sold their home in Aurora and came out here. They've been here 3 years, and they're wonderful people. 3 years. They got chased out of Aurora. Just gangs.
Yeah, it's a terrible situation.
There's got to be a way to stop that. I don't know what it is. There has to be a way.
There must be.
There has to be a way.
You don't have any choice.
It's got to be